Glitterball Podcasts. It's time to talk about our celebrities' first few days under Big Brother's watchful eye in Britain's most famous house. We've had a day at the races, we've had nomination drama, and we've had the resolution of the Ring of Fire. Plus so much more. Mainly from Sharon just spilling all the tea on her thoughts on celebrities. And we're going to talk about it all today on this episode of He's Always Watching. So let's get into it, shall we? Welcome to He's Always Watching, a Celebrity Big Brother podcast. Before we get into the discussion, dissection and analysis of this episode, just a reminder, I'm not judging these housemates as total people. I'm judging them off the edit we are seeing, so please be kind and don't send any hate. It's only a game show. It's not that serious. Hello, my fellow celebrity fishbowl observers. Ugh, what a wonderful first few days with this new batch of playthings. Hey, I had high expectations coming off of launch, and you know what? I haven't been let down. Some of my opinions on these housemates have changed so fast, I've basically gotten whiplash. As of recording this, I've seen up to day 3. And do you know what? I am shook. We've had the Ring of Fire resolute and leave us with Gary Goldsmith as our first public eviction nominee. And we've also had a round of house nominations, which we'll get to a little bit later on, which gave us the final piece of our eviction puzzle. But generally speaking, these last few episodes have been an absolute delight to watch. Do you know, I was like, we'll see how this lot go in terms of producing engaging television, because I genuinely believed that all the weight for that would be on Sharon and Louis. And do you know what? I've been wrong. There's quite a few of them that are bringing great television, and I'm kind of glad to see it, because I was a little bit worried that all the weight would be on Sharon's little bobble-headed shoulders, and I didn't want that. Let me just dive into a few of the others that aren't our iconic duo for a minute and give you some opinions. My biggest celebrity surprise so far in that house has been Marisha Wallace. Now, as much as the singing is getting on my nerves already, yep, it didn't take long. I could have called that. She is so open to this experience and just there to have a great time that it's beautiful to see. She's given us so much great content with conversations with her fellow celebrities. And it's just lovely. And I was really shocked to see how much she's given us just in the first few days, because I thought maybe it would take her a while to warm up, but I was very wrong with that. But there's somebody else on the flip side of that. And when we talk about nominations in a little bit, that will make a bit more sense. It's Ekin-Su. As it stands, I'm struggling to like her, which is quite the backflip from launch. There's just something, and while I understand they're all there to make good TV, I don't know how you can then call somebody out for feeling like they're putting on a facade when you've done the exact same thing in nominating them. It's very strange. We'll unpack that a little bit later. But there's just something a little overly produced about Ekin at the moment. And look, she's come from reality shows aplenty, so maybe that's just how it is. But something feels off. But back to surprise packets of the good kind. My third and final surprise packet has to be Mr. Levi Roots. I liked his VT. I thought he was cheerful and he obviously had a good endpoint with the rest of the house as house chef. But he's been really interesting to watch for me and see him open up and form this friendship with Sharon, the conversations he's had with Marisha. It's just really lovely. Even the conversation with Nikita and Coulson about how to pronounce his name. Really, really interesting. I'm genuinely surprised at the breadth of content he's given us. Because I was like, oh, you're just going to be house chef and that'll be that. But I'm wrong again, which is really lovely to see. However, let's dive in and talk about the culmination of the Ring of Fire X Factor table twist. Because we got another little X Factor moment, which I kind of loved. I was saying to a friend that this conversation period with Sharon and the three Ring of Fire E's felt very judges' houses. They did such a lovely job of decorating that space to feel as if it was a judge's houses. You're just in Sharon's home kind of moment. That I was like, ooh, this feels very X Factor. Very X Factor. But I think we got interesting insights into a lot of them. Some I didn't buy. We'll get to that in a second, but I thought it was nice for Sharon to see a softer, less obnoxious side of David Potts. Now, look, I still can't stand David Potts. There's just too much energy, not enough longer style pants. The shorts thing is really getting on my nerves for some reason. Ever since I saw the Family Guy meme, I just cannot shake it. And it's really getting on my nerves. But it was nice to see him calm down, even if he was dressed as a horse, and have the conversation with Sharon. The other one who I thought was insightful, because it was nice to see them kind of come together and have a very needed discussion, is Zizi and Sharon. I thought that was very insightful as women in the entertainment industry and that kind of bond. And it was a lovely conversation. Sharon seemed to get a lot out of it. Zizi seemed to get a lot out of it. And I think Sharon got a really clear idea of why Zizi is in that house. But you see, then we get to Mr. Gary Goldsmith. And this one was just a little awkward because Gary really pulled out the X Factor trope and kind of went into the I'm out of my comfort zone. I don't want to be here, but I agreed to be here. I'm a villain. Like, I'm like, mate, I didn't know who you were 5 seconds before you walked in. And judging from what I've seen online, it's very split as to who knows you and who doesn't. So I don't think you're the national villain you think you are. But sure, peddle your storyline. It just came across as so forced to me. And we've seen Sharon and Louis and the little clump that's formed there all kind of agree. Is Gary is coming across as, to use a Pete Burns quote that I'll forever love, coming across as insincere, for me, almost to the point of nausea. It's so fake. And I just want to shake him and be like, just go home. Just leave, please. Because I can't take it. It's so insincere. You obviously don't need the money. You're here for either validation or you want to be turned into a celebrity, as Sharon said. And I'm just like, go the fuck home, please. We don't need you here. Get out. But that then gave us the resolution of this twist. And David and Zizi were saved from facing the first public vote, as Sharon decided that Gary, the I don't want to be a celebrity, but I'm in Celebrity Big Brother, uncle of Kate Middleton, was up for the vote. And you know what? I think Sharon made the right call here. The man's nauseating. I'm sorry. I'm just going to say it. The man is nauseating and I'm over it. So, fingers crossed, he goes on Friday. And we will get to who's joining him in just a second. But now, let's change gears and take it to the races, because that's exactly what Big Brother did for the very first house task of the season. And I just have to say, not only A, did they go all out for this task, which was kind of iconic, but the horse names were just hysterical. Strictly Come Prancing, David Trotz, but I think my favourite of all of them was Equine Sue. So, so funny. I just couldn't get over it. This task was utterly bizarre, but in the best way. And it's only one of those things that you could say, I could only ever see that on Celebrity Big Brother. Do you know what I mean? Other celebrities riding celebrities who are dressed as horses. Like, what is going on? I did, and this is the one moment where I did genuinely feel for David Trotz this week, because that actually looked quite painful for him, and I'm slightly worried he might have injured himself, because you see later in the episode that he's kind of limping a little bit, so fingers crossed he didn't injure himself. But this was just a fabulously dumb task. And in the end, Strictly Come Prancing, so Nikita, and that whole team won. And I have to laugh at the meme that's been going around on Twitter about this task also, that Sharon was invited to the party because it's like, we've paid you 500 grand, you're going to the party to give us more content. And look, it's probably true, to be honest. Just a very, very fun, lighthearted, and that's kind of one of the things I'm really glad to see with ITV's reboot of the show. There's just a lighthearted energy about these houses that they keep putting together. So that's really, really lovely as a viewer. But having said that, I do think it's going to be very interesting as we head into the eviction and our second week, because I feel like as the days are going on, feathers are getting more and more ruffled. And I think nominations definitely ruffled some feathers, and everything could fall apart a bit in the second week. I think we might get a bit more of a fiery version of the Kumbaya house. But after this short break, we will dive straight into that nomination process and we'll get into who I think will be going home this week. Welcome back. Let's get into nominations. And this is where I think the house took a real turn, because the knives kind of came out post Gary's nomination. It was interesting to see. I was kind of a little bit shocked, because everyone had been getting along so well, to see some of these nominations. In particular, Ekin Sue nominating Fern. I don't quite know how things turn so quickly. You're having such a lovely heart-to-heart conversation. And then in 2 days' time, you're nominating and calling her fake. And they both did the same to each other. So I'm like, what the hell is going on here? Then you had the fact that everybody seems to have really turned on Lauren. Spoiler alert, Lauren ended up with the most nominations with 6. Zizi was behind on 5. So a very close call there, and it would have been interesting if all 3 were up. But I feel like if all 3 were up, ZZ may have gone home. It's an interesting mix I was genuinely shocked that Lauren had so many nominations. I felt like David Potts would have been higher in that queue. And maybe even Louis, because I feel like he is rubbing some people the wrong way. We saw him get some nominations, but not as many as I was expecting. Because Louis is giving me very much dottery, grumpy grandpa during his time in the house so far. It's not what I was expecting. He's giving us some great moments where he's just letting it all hang out, but very much dottery grandpa mode for Louis. But Lauren's avalanche of nominations really did shock me. And I think I'm also shocked that only two housemates are facing Friday's public eviction. That seems like a very strange decision, given that we have only 2 weeks. I mean, Tuesday will be at the midpoint of the series. It just seems a little odd. Like, are we just going to lose a whole bunch in, like, 2 days before the final? I really hope that isn't the case, because that would kind of ruin the flow. Or are we going to have a whole bunch of them at the finale? I can't pick it. And speaking of things I can't really pick, it's this nomination and eviction vote. Personally, I want to see the back of Gary Goldstein. I'm tired. You're bringing me nothing except bemoaning about your alleged public perception. And I didn't even know who the fuck you were. Go home, sir. Just go home. But having said that, I don't know whether the public will save Lauren. Not a clue. Not the foggiest. So Friday's eviction is going to be very interesting for me. I think Gary will go home. I'm hoping Gary will go home. So we will see if I am indeed correct. As for who the house will nominate next week, I think Louie's in trouble, and I think ZZ is in trouble, and maybe Lauren again if she survives Friday's vote. But we shall see, shan't we, my friends? On Friday's episode, I'll also come at you with some general week thoughts. But that's about it for this episode of He's Always Watching, a Celebrity Big Brother podcast. I hope you've enjoyed our little peek into the fishbowl. Honestly, cannot thank you enough for the reception to the first episode of the season. It's lovely to be back with you, and I can't wait to keep wandering through on this adventure. There's going to be a lot more ahead of us, and I'll see you very, very soon for our post-eviction episode of He's Always Watching. If you've enjoyed this episode, please share it with a friend and rate it 5 stars on whatever podcasting app you're listening on. It really does help get us out there a bit more, and it just means the more and the merrier on this journey. If you want to come and chat all things celebrity shenanigans, you can do that. Come over to Instagram at He's Always Watching Pod and come and say hello. I'd love to know your thoughts. I'll see you on Friday with a brand new episode where we'll talk all things eviction and my week 2 predictions, plus we'll wrap up the week that was. That's all ahead of us. But for now, that is all I have for you. Please take care, and remember, Big Brother's not the only one who's always watching. Glitterball Podcasts.